Morning. I do tend to wander a little bit, but I will try to stay as close to the mic as possible. We're so glad to be here. We're glad to be here on Friday and this morning sharing what God is doing in Kenya, hopefully connecting some dots for you about what we've been up to and what God's been doing. And so this morning, I'm so thankful for the music that was chosen. We all have a story, right? We sang it in our first hymn, and that's really, if I was going to ask you to remember one thing, is you have a story to tell. And get ready to tell your story, okay? So I often do this with my residents back in Kenya. I tell them up front, in case, you know, they fall asleep or something, what I want them to get out of this. So if you get nothing else out, you have a story. There are opportunities to share. Get ready to tell, okay? The second thing I'll say up front, because I don't want to interrupt the flow of things after I finish, is it's been a funny year with COVID, and so we don't even have prayer cards quite yet, which we normally would leave at the back so you could interact with us. I talked to Becky. We were going to set up a sign-up sheet, but she thought maybe the best thing to do is to use these Connect cards, and if you can just write somewhere on there that you would like to connect with us and leave some form of communication, whether your phone number or email, she said she would be willing to collect those and set them aside for us. So thank you, Becky, for being willing to do that. When we do get prayer cards, we will send some your way so that people can have them and bring them home and put them on their, you know, fridge or wherever those things go these days. So, anyways, we're very thankful to be here, and we're so happy for the theme of this year's conference. Proclaiming his name is an amazing opportunity and sometimes feels threatening, and I'm hoping that we'll talk about some things today that make it a little less difficult for us to just share our story. That's all really God asks of us. And what are we sharing? All we're sharing is what we've heard and what we've seen, right? So that's the theme, and I think we'll hopefully carry through some of that this morning. I'm going to ask Matt or somebody with the wizardry back there to show a clip
for me. With new rewards from Chase Freedom Unlimited, I now earn even more cash back. Oh, I got to tell everyone. Hey, Rita, you now earn 3% on dining, including takeout.
Bon appetit.
Hey, Kim, you now earn 5% on travel purchased through Chase.
Way ahead of you.
Hey, Neil, you can earn 3% at drugstores.
Buddy, I'm right here. Why are you yelling?
Because that's what I do.
So this guy's excited, right? He goes to his mailbox, he opens up his mail, he finds out that he has some sort of rewards from his credit card. And man, is he ever excited. And so what does he do? What is the natural thing for him to do? He wants to tell people. And so he starts shouting to his neighbors. He can't help it. He cannot help. You know, this week's theme verse was from Acts chapter 4, verse 20, and it says, "As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard." Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:14 that he was compelled by the love of Christ, like somebody was pushing him to tell. That's the kind of feeling it is that wells up. The worship leader used the word wells up. And overflows and can't help but be told. We naturally want to share good news. It happens in our regular lives, right? Well, this year, we had a graduation in our family, right? Our oldest daughter graduated high school. She's going to college. I want people to know that. I am proud of her. I am so happy to have watched her in this journey and so happy for the next steps in life that God is bringing her on. I want to tell people. We have weddings, right? Wedding announcements. We don't just tell people, man, we make a beautiful little card and we send them out and we say, hey, look what's happening. We have big changes in our lives. Birth announcements, right? Who doesn't want to hear about a new birth? Well, let me tell you, some of you who were here on Friday, you got to hear from Dr. Maureen Wakesa. She was pregnant. And now she's a new mom again. I guess not new. Second baby, but she had her baby, Zara, a little girl, born healthy. Everybody's doing well. But what an exciting thing for me, even, to know that she has this new baby, and I'm glad to have a chance to share it with you, who just met her for the first time on Friday. So we get excited, and we want others to know. And so we share. Psalm 28:7 says this, "My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him." Why do we want to share that? Why do we want to share that excitement? What is so natural about us wanting to do this? Or maybe more importantly, where does it come from? Well, I think at least in some part, it comes from relationship. It comes from experience. And so my experience with my daughter is watching her grow from down here to up here and watching her have ideas that she never had down there that she does now, right? And watching all of that happen and watching Maureen, who I've known for now 8 years in her training, and watching her grow as a mom with her first baby, now the excitement of seeing her have a second baby and grow her family. I've had those relationships. We've had experiences together. And the same is true of us and God, right? The reason we want to tell his name, the reason we want to proclaim or speak, as the verse in Acts says, is because we have something to tell. We have an experience. We have a relationship, and we want to share that. The psalm that we read, or that we did some reading and we heard some more about from the worship leader, Psalm 105, is an amazing psalm. I actually didn't learn this until I was studying for this sermon. That psalm it was written by David, which I knew, but that is the psalm that he had sung, the first 15 verses, in Chronicles as the ark is coming up to Jerusalem. Well, what's in this psalm that's so exciting that, I mean, we all remember this story, right? The ark had been out of the hands of the Israelites for a while in the Philistines' hands. Then it came in, and there was this tough time when the guys died because they carried it wrongly. But now it's coming to Jerusalem. And let me tell you, David was more than excited. I mean, he gets in trouble with his wife for how excited he was, right? And so this is the epitome of joy for David. And what does he talk about in this psalm that got sung during that time? He talks about proclaiming the name. Why? Why proclaim the name? Because Israel has a relationship with this God. In verse 6, it calls us the descendants of Abraham, his chosen ones. That's relationship. In verse 8, it tells us that he has a covenant. God wants to be with us, wants to have relationship with us, and out of that relationship comes praise, comes proclamation. Secondly, it comes from experience. Within that psalm, we also see in verse 2, tell of what? His wonderful acts. In verse 5, remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and judgments. So this interweaving of relationship and experience was something David had. David was a man after God's own heart. He had a close relationship with God. He had lived through many experiences where he had seen God in action. And so he wants to make his name great. He wants to make the greatness of the Lord's name known to all people. We have good news as well, right? In fact, we have the best news. Salvation through Christ, the forgiveness of sin, the freedom in Christ, the hope of God's kingdom. Thinking back on my own story, I shared a bit on Friday, but I'm going to show a little bit more today. When I grew up, I come from an Italian family with a Catholic background, and we went to church every Sunday. And I got to know about God pretty well. I knew that this God was a God who loved us, and I knew that Jesus went to the cross. But somehow there was something missing. I just never quite got the point of that. And so in not connecting relationally with God, I was left empty. In fact, I was left feeling more judgment than love. And that was not a good place. It made me want more to be away from God than to be with God. I started dating Janice at the end of high school, and she shared with me what was happening in her life and this relationship that she had grown up into with God. That was totally new to me. I thought, well, that's interesting. And so I thought, well, maybe I should check it out for myself. And so I read through the New Testament, mostly in the Gospels, and I found out that's exactly what Jesus wants. Jesus wants to be in our lives. Jesus wants to be intimate with us. And so as I read through that, I was called to follow him. I didn't know what that meant, but I thought, well, this is where I am. And you want a relationship with me? Let's go. And so that's where we were. Almost immediately after coming to this understanding that God really did want to be a part of my life, I felt so much joy, so much freedom. All that stuff that I was feeling guilty about was now behind me. And what was my response? All I wanted to do was tell people. Because I had grown up with lots of people doing this very same thing, going to church every week and somehow missing the point. And so I just wanted to tell people. It was my joy, and I wanted it to be their joy. And so I was compelled, like Paul says, I was compelled to tell by the love of Christ. And so as we go out and we tell, it's based on our relationship and our experience with God. That's how and what we want to share. I also want to share what happens when we do proclaim, when we do speak. Because speaking is one thing. I can say a bunch of words up here, and if it has no meaning to you, then I've just spoken a bunch of words. But when we speak out, when we proclaim God's name, when we speak out of our relationship with him as to what's happening with us, and it connects, God has an opportunity to do something, to transform people's lives, to change who they are and what is happening. I'm going to read the first few verses in chapter 3 of Acts. If you want to look through it in your Bible, it's a pretty familiar story. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a lame man from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." He fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no gold, no silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and he raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So when we look at this story, we see some characters, right? We see John, we see Peter. We've heard of these characters elsewhere in the Gospels, in the stories of Jesus. They're prominent disciples, and they become, after his death, prominent leaders in the followers of Jesus. Peter is called the Rock. John is called the Beloved Disciple. By the people around them, this is from Acts chapter 4, they're known as unschooled and ordinary. But there's something that stands out about Peter and John. Peter and John had a relationship with Jesus. They had something to share. They had lived experiences with Jesus. They had something to share. Now, what were they doing? Well, they were just doing what they normally did, 3 o'clock prayer meeting. And so they were on their way to the temple for their 3 o'clock prayer meeting. And they meet this man. Now, this man was lame from birth. And he's, according to some commentaries, probably around 40 years old. Actually, it's later in the scripture. It says that he's around 40 years old. So he's been there a lot. A lot such that, I don't know if, maybe you guys are more perceptive than I am, but sometimes you walk by things 100 times and you never even notice they're there. That's how long this guy has been there. Enough that people may not even notice him. But he does ask for alms. He puts his hand out, maybe he shakes something, to get something from these people going into the temple. And so Peter and John do something, maybe different than the other people do. It's not uncommon for the Jewish people, as they went to temple, to see it as a work of service to their God to give out these alms. It was gave them some amount of religiousness, I guess. It was a benefit to them, or they perceived it that way. And so he's holding out his thing, and Peter and John say, "Look at me." I don't know if you've ever gone by people who are begging on the street. Oftentimes, they don't want to look at you. They look away. They may hold their thing out. They may hold it out like this. They don't want to look at you necessarily. But he did. He looked at them because he thought he might get something. He is there looking for what? He's looking for finances. He can't work. He can't do things in his culture. But he knows that others have given him something. And so he's looking for something. And so what does Peter give him? First, he gives him his attention, one-on-one attention. Peter wanted him to know what he was about to say. Peter also gives him what he can. He's very clear up front, "I don't have gold and silver. I know that's what you're after. But you know what? I have something, and I am going to give it to you. I am going to give you the opportunity to know Jesus and to be healed." Peter gives out of what he can. And so out of this comes a whole cascade of events. A whole bunch of things happen at that moment. And so the telling of the story, the sharing of the power of Christ to heal this man, leads to a whole bunch of things. The first thing is obvious. The man gets up. He hasn't been up in 40 years. He gets up. And he doesn't just get up. He leaps up. And he continues into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Well, what happens after that? Well, now the crowd just comes. What is going on here? That's the guy that's been sitting there for the last 40 years. I don't know what's going on. So he attracts a crowd. And attracting a crowd allows Peter to then speak to that crowd. Peter proclaims directly here, and then he has an opportunity to proclaim even further. And what comes out of that? At the end of those passages, as we go through chapter 3 and 4, their numbers are added such that they are now 5,000. There's growth of the church. Out of what? This small thing that Peter did. He noticed him. He stopped. He was interrupted. Any of you that were at Sunday school, we talked about interruptions and how interruptions become opportunities. Right, here's Peter and John, they're just going about their business. We're going to church today, we're going to prayer meeting, and they see this guy, they could walk by him. I don't know how many hundreds of people probably walked by him every day, but they didn't. They took that interruption as an opportunity. And so the numbers of the church grow. Well, there's a negative consequence that happens as well. The Sadducees hear about this. The leaders of the church, the leaders of the Jewish community hear this. And they are not happy. These guys, happy. These guys, not happy. And so Peter and John get arrested. And in that whole story of their arrest, essentially the Jewish leaders say, listen, stop it. Just stop talking about this guy. Stop talking about power in his name. Stop healing people. Stop doing all that stuff. And then we come to the theme verse. And what do they respond? How can we not speak? They are so driven, so compelled by the love that they have for Jesus and for the love that Jesus has for them and the love they have for these people, they cannot help but share. So, how many of you feel like Peter? Getting ready to go out to the crowds. I'm going to talk about stuff. People are going to come and know God. Wow, that is not me. I'd rather be this Peter, where I talk to this guy over here. I might even rather be Janice, who I just talked to this guy I know. So when we proclaim or when we speak, we do it in different ways because we're different people. So in Psalms 105, that word proclaim is a Hebrew word. I'm going to mess this up totally. Kara, which means to call out, announce, make known exuberantly, like the guy who's telling his neighbors about how much they can get off their food and travel and whatever else it is he's trying to tell them. And then we go to the passage in Acts where they say, I can't help but speak. And that word is a Greek word, laleo. And that one means to utter a noise. Not necessarily loudly, but to speak, to say something. And so far we've seen really three ways that people, or three examples of how people proclaim or speak out this thing that they want to tell. We've seen the guy in the commercial who is loud. He says, his neighbor says, why are you yelling? Well, because that's what I do. That's who he is. And there are people among us that is the way they are going to communicate. And praise God for them, because I'm not that guy. But he even, one of the things I thought was interesting in the commercial, and it probably doesn't come across in this setting, but he's actually very specific about what he tells those people. Right, so the lady that's carrying in her food, her takeout, he tells her about the rewards about food. And the one who's traveling with her travel bag, he tells about travel rewards. And so we have a message to speak, and sometimes God will even direct that very specifically to the people that we're telling that to. The second is John and Peter, right? So John and Peter, in a very public way, but not necessarily in a loud way, right? They mainly spoke to this beggar. And then he loudly proclaimed. He jumped and leaped and praised. And then Peter did have an opportunity to speak to a louder crowd. But their initial interaction was public, but not loud. And yet God used it. Janice, very personal, very one-to-one. Who among us don't have friends that haven't heard or have heard but have not responded, who continue to need to hear our relationship with God so that they might be drawn into that and want to have that relationship? I suggest that there's possibly even a fourth way. And the fourth way I'm going to suggest comes out of Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. It says, let your light shine before others that they may see, and so in seeing your good deeds, glorify your Father in heaven. There's this way of proclaiming with your whole life. And it's not just about doing. Oftentimes we hear, well, I can just do things and people will notice. And that is true. People will notice. But you have to be able to do the uttering with your voice. You have to be able to give, as was said this morning, that hope that is within you, to be able to share that hope is within you. That is what they need. And that is why we do it. I want to, again, some of you were there on Friday, and I introduced Maureen, one of our senior residents in our family medicine residency. And she tells her story in the video that we showed about how she chose family medicine and why she chose Tenwick. And it was the influence of people she had worked with. And one person in particular was influential to her. She doesn't mention it in her video, but she's told me this story many times, that the reason she did this was because one of her senior residents, one of the ones that was teaching her, his name was Juma, very quiet, humble man. She saw how he interacted, how he did his daily work, and how he spoke to patients. And that was what attracted her. So we don't know how God is going to use us, but we do know that he uses us as we are. He doesn't expect everybody in this room to become Billy Graham. Billy Graham was great, and Billy Graham did his thing. And that's what God had for Billy Graham. But you are you, and he has that same thing for you. And so he wants you to do the things that you can do. I think one of the themes we've tried to carry through the weekend is the idea of opportunity. The opportunities are there, and God wants us to take those opportunities. We need to look for opportunities. Sometimes we need to take opportunities. Sometimes we even have to make opportunities. We have to go that extra step and actually make those opportunities. Acts 1:8 says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you will be my witnesses." There's so much beauty in the simplicity of what Jesus tells us we are. We are witnesses. What does a witness do? A witness just tells the truth about the story. Your story, just tells that. That's all you have to do. That is your piece of the puzzle. The outcome is not your piece of the puzzle. That lame man's piece of the puzzle was walking and leaping and praising God. Peter's part of the puzzle was to speak to the crowd that he attracted. And so, whatever your piece of the puzzle is, look for the opportunities, take the opportunities, make the opportunities. I'm going to give you a couple of ways that I think we can do that may help us to do this a little bit better. I'm so thankful for even the stories we heard on Friday night. Other people from within your congregation and otherwise attached to your congregation in some way that are doing things. And so great to hear their testimonies. The first thing I would say is that relationship. We need to know God. We need to have context. We need to have something to share. And it's out of that knowledge of God. It's out of that spending time. We talked a little bit about Sabbath this morning. It's out of that spending time in his presence, in his arms, resting and listening and hearing from him, that we get the message that we want to share, that we get that compelling force behind us that we want to share. I loved what I read this morning, and I just want to share it with somebody. And so the first is knowing him, right? Even Jesus would go off and be with the Father. And in Matthew 5:19, it tells us that Jesus himself says he's dependent on that time that he spent with God the Father. It allowed him to do the work that God had given him. Second is to look for God where he's already at work and order our life around him, finding those opportunities. Henry Blackaby, in his study called Experiencing God, says this: "We don't choose what we will do for God. He invites us to join him where he wants us to be involved." God is just waiting for us to receive that invitation, take the invitation, and be a part of what he's already doing. In order to be available, though, oftentimes we need to declutter. We talked a little bit this morning in the face of Sabbath is that we're all running crazy, doing 100 million things, maybe even more than we should be doing. And so we need to declutter. In the Matthew 13, the parable of the sower, which is so familiar, you know, the farmer is putting out his seed and it lands on various parts of the earth. I want to focus on the one where the thorns grow up. You know, you get this plant coming and then the thorns grow up and they squeeze it out. It says they choke the plant. And Jesus tells us two things about that choking. One, the choking is from the worries of life. But two, the choking is from the deceitfulness of wealth. Oftentimes we know that we're worried about stuff, but we don't realize how much we're distracted by the stuff around us, the stuff we have, the good stuff. It's not bad stuff, but it's distracting stuff. And so we need to declutter, and we need to give space for those opportunities. We need to plan enough margin or wiggle room in our lives that when we are planning to go to prayer meeting, if this guy needs me to talk to him, we can take that moment to talk to him. We are not so tightly packed in our schedules that we have not allowed God to work. Ministry oftentimes happens in the in-between moments, not in the planned moments. I sometimes say to friends at Tenwick, you know, I think the best thing I did today was help this guy who was just trying to find the orthopedic clinic. Right? Like, you're walking along, and there's these people who are in some sort of distress. They need something, and God put you there. Well, that's your opportunity to talk to that person, to do something for that person. And so that is, I think, one of the things we need to do, especially in the culture here in America, is to declutter, to make space for God to be at work. I think another practical thing we can do is to practice telling others. Right? So I imagine a number of you in this room, and hopefully many of you, do spend time with God each day. Do you take the opportunity to share what you learn with anyone? Do you take the opportunity to share what God is doing in your life? I was so impressed on Friday by, I guess it's Keith and Carol Chapman. Keith shared that during COVID, one of the ways he's been reaching out, because he couldn't figure out other ways, is as he's getting deeper into God's word, he's posting notes on his door. Amazing. And the response that he got, he didn't expect a response. He did it because he thought, hey, I'm learning this stuff, and it's kind of cool, and I'm going to post it on the door. And God has brought people to that door to hear more. And he's brought a number of people. And so it was really just neat to hear how people can share in ways I never would have really thought about. But finding a safe person that wants to hear those kinds of things from you, at least start that way. Share just something small. Hey, I read this morning. I thought it was kind of cool. And as you start to become comfortable with that, it will become more a part of who you are and how you speak to people around you. The last thing is to look for those opportunities. We've talked about this a lot over the weekend, and so I don't want to say too much. But during COVID, people are lonely. People are hungry for a relationship. And I'm learning that more and more each day. And so there are opportunities. There are people who would have, without COVID, gone out and done this and that, and their needs would have been met. It's not able to happen for them now. And so taking even those small tangible things and making those into opportunities while we can. So in closing, I guess my encouragement to all of us is to share your story, to know your story, to build your story, take that time to build your story with God. Proclaim and speak when God gives you opportunity. Isn't it great that God gives us the opportunity to do this? Isn't it great that we get to do this? Let me just close in prayer. Lord God, we just thank you so much for the way you've reached into our lives and for the good things you're doing in our lives. And even when circumstances are hard and difficult, you walk with us. And you give us a little glimpse of you even in the darkness so that we will not lose hope. And Father, even when we do lose hope, Lord, you bring people around us to bring back that hope. And so, Father, as we walk out our story, Lord, we just pray that you will continue to give us opportunities to share that story with others, that others might be touched, that others might experience the joy of knowing you, the joy of experiencing life with you. And that, Father, we might be a small part of that, and we thank you for that privilege. We thank you for this church who continues to minister in this community and throughout the world, and we thank you for all the things that you're doing here. We pray that you'll continue to meet their needs and bless them as they bless others. In Jesus' name, amen.